Welcome to the Midday. I'm Norman Gilliland. Quiz question in 25 minutes. And between now and then, we have music, and as usual, and we have conversation, too, as is pretty common during the midday. Today with us, Emily Bersan of the Lyric Opera of Chicago in this vicinity to perform with the Middleton Community Orchestra concert tomorrow night, 7:30 at the Performing Arts Center in Middleton. And welcome to Wisconsin.
Thank you.
Maybe I should say welcome back. You see, you said you got your degrees here?
Yeah, my master's in opera here, right across the street.
Well, we're conveniently located then. And this past year at the Lyric, you've had four different roles, been in four operas?
I've been involved in, I have six altogether. I just have one more in the spring, but I did five this fall. I was involved in Tales of Hoffman, Lucia de Lammermoor, Boris Godunov, The Magic Flute, and Ariadne of Naxos.
That just sounds like so much, but that is kind of just the given for an operatic singer, isn't it?
Yeah, especially when you're put into a program like this. It's the Ryan Opera Center, and they use singers to be resident artists there so that they can cover the bigger roles and sing the smaller roles and learn a lot and learn a lot of repertoire in 2 to 3 years that they're there.
And keep it all straight. I assume that you're never doing two operas at the same time, by which I mean...
Well, hopefully not.
hopefully not at the same time. Literally, but I mean in, like one day one opera, the next day another.
There was a little bit of that. Yeah. At a given week, maybe I would have a Boris Godunov on a Monday and a Magic Flute on a Thursday and maybe, rehearsals for other operas too, so there could be maybe three operas at one time going on
and keep everything straight somehow.
Yeah, I guess that's how we have to learn to do all that, all the different languages and the different styles of music, be able to switch back and forth.
And you don't ever wonder, let me see now, which opera am I in at this particular moment? Am I the princess in Boris Godunov, or am I Lucia, or
once you get into the music and it's in you, you have to just kind of get into that role, and you're in a whole other world when you're doing it.
Which part in the Magic Flute?
I was covering Papagena.
And is she the one who gets that aria, Ach, ich fühl's?
Actually, no. She is, so I've done both of the roles. I've done Pamina, which is the heroine of the opera, who sings Ach, ich fühl's. And now I'm covering Papagena, who is kind of a comedic relief, the girlfriend / wife of Papageno, one of the biggest characters, and she shows up at the end of the opera.
Well, that must be fun to be able to play two contrasting characters
of
in the
course.
Same opera.
Of course, yeah.
What is the context for the song, Ah, I Feel It? Is that literally what she's singing about?
Yes.
Ah, fools.
So her boyfriend, Tamino, is going through the tests that Zoroastro is putting him through. And one of the tests is that he has to stay in this dungeon and not speak to anyone. And she comes and finds him. She was looking for him, and he can't speak to her. And so she says, "Do you not love me anymore? Why aren't you speaking to me? Did I do something?" And so that is, then she sings this aria, and she's so deeply hurt by him not speaking to her that she actually feels like death would be better than this situation.
Well, can't get much more intense than that, can you? And you have this is with you and a pianist, right?
Yeah, Claire Mallory. We recorded about a year ago.
Ach, ich fühl's from the Magic Flute by Mozart with Emily Bersan. Ach, ich fühl's from the Magic Flute by Mozart, as sung by my guest today, Emily Bersan, who is performing well in an ongoing way. What did you say, through May?
Yeah.
The Lyric Opera of Chicago? And is in Wisconsin to perform with the Middleton Community Orchestra tomorrow night. And what will you be performing for the concert?
I will be singing Regnava nel Silenzio. It's Lucia's first act aria, Come Scoglio from Così Fan Tutte by Mozart, and O Mio Babbino Caro.
Oh, a crowd pleaser for sure.
Of course.
And maybe we'll get to that a little later, too.
Great.
Now, you mentioned Lucia, and you also have mentioned, Emily, that you've actually sung that entire opera, but it was a sort of, well, it was as a... an understudy, in effect.
Yeah, so at the Lyric, we get to do, if you are a cover or an understudy for a role, you do an actual run performance of the opera, so they, you know, can see how you would be if you would be on stage on that role. So I've experienced the role already.
And you tell me also that every role in the opera is covered. Every role has an understudy.
So, you could call it a second cast.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so is it the entire second cast that sings?
Yes.
That's how they get everybody up to speed with it.
Yeah, definitely. And so working with these kind of people, maybe one of the 10 people might go on for someone if they got sick. So it's exciting.
Okay, now level with me here. What are your feelings? You think, oh, you know, what if something should happen to our first string Lucia?
Well, I mean, it would be nerve-wracking but exhilarating all at the same time, and I'm happy to cover it and learn it and have that experience of learning it, but it's everyone has their own time, and I'm very young already, and I don't know if maybe my debut as Lucia should be at the Lyric Opera of Chicago, maybe in a smaller place,
build up to it,
but I would be happy to go on, but now it's over and I don't have to worry about it anymore.
Not for a while, but you'd have other operas that you're covering also between now and the end of the season?
Yeah, the Magic Flute was before Christmas, and then it goes through January, so I'll keep covering that. And I'm going to be covering one of the bigger roles in Rinaldo by Handel, and that's in the spring, starting in the end of February. I'm Armida, the Armida cover.
Well, it's got to be a lot of fun to sing Handel. There's just such style there and such theatricality.
I love Handel. I did... Alcina, the title role of Alcina, here at UW-Madison in the opera while I was doing my master's, and that was quite an experience to do a big Handel role and experience, you know, six arias and ornamenting all of the arias with the orchestra. It was wonderful.
That's got to be, I guess, though, still a little easier than doing the Mozart that we just heard, which throws everything at the singer. I mean, you have all of this dynamic range. You're going very quickly from... sounds like pianissimo up to maybe a mezzo forte anyway, something like that. And then the dynamics of the pitch, too.
Yeah, I think every style of music and every period has its challenges. And you figure out as a singer which period and which composers work with your voice. And I've found that Mozart and Handel, even though they are very different in their own ways, that is the kind of voice, I guess you can call it a Fach. Different voice types are different Fachs. My Fach is perfect for that music, so the color of my voice, so that's what I like to stick with.
Is that kind of singing, I'll just say collectively here, 18th century, mm-hmm. is that in the long run easier on the voice than getting into the Verdi and the Puccini and even, you know, the Russian composers?
Yeah. Well, I like to stick with what feels good. And so as my voice develops and grows, you know, I won't really hit my prime until I'm 35. And so maybe when I'm 35, I can sing Verdi. But some people just won't ever sing Verdi, or I probably won't ever sing Wagner because of the type of voice that I have. You know, I would say that I'm a lyric coloratura.
Right, there is a matter of just sheer size sometimes of the voice.
Yeah, so I feel comfortable in a certain kind of music, especially Donizetti, Mozart, and Handel.
So you're not going to be riding the horse through the heavens of the Wagnerian firmament?
Probably not, unfortunately.
Well, there is such a thing as longevity of career, too.
Definitely.
You do have to consider what kind of instrument you have and what its capabilities and durability. Now, but why 35 to be hit your prime?
I mean, it depends, whatever. A lot of people say it's 35 for a woman, It's just how a woman develops, and I think that my voice will be fully grown by that point. So I'm still growing now. Every month it grows.
Your voice gets bigger, you say?
In different ways. Maybe it gets higher, can sing higher notes, or can sing lower range, or different colors. I'm able to access different colors in my voice.
Well, really, I think it's easy to overlook that this kind of singing, opera singing, is really a form of athletics, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. It's a muscle that you train. And to be able to sing for a house that has 3,500 seats without a microphone is a feat. And I'm just starting to figure it out. I mean, working at the Lyric only for 6 months and figuring out what repertoire is good for me in a big house, too.
Well, we mentioned it, so let's hear it. This is a very popular song from an opera that's really not all that frequently heard in its entirety, and it's actually a kind of a comic opera, isn't it? At least it has a comic finale.
Yes, definitely. Gianni Schicchi. At this point, Lauretta is asking her father, Gianni Schicchi, can I please marry Renuccio? And I sometimes assume that she's a girl of 14 years of age, you know, a teenager. And she's trying every which way to get him to agree to let her marry him, Renuccio. So the way I do it, I think I'm a little more whiny than most. But I think that's a side of me that I like to access.
And the name of the aria is O Mio Bambino Caro. Mio Bambino Caro from Gianni Schicchi by Puccini, featuring my guest today, Emily Barsan, and we will be hearing more from her right after this on Wisconsin Public Radio. Back with Emily Barsan, and Emily is in town to perform with the Middleton Community Orchestra, a concert tomorrow night at the PAC, the Performing Arts Center in Middleton, at 7:30, and included in the program, no less than Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, and then arias sung by Emily, and they will include Puccini, Donizetti, and Mozart. Oh, also on the program, the overture to La Scala di Seta, and the celebrated Skater's Waltz. So you're going to be singing O Mio Bambino Caro tomorrow night, right?
Yes.
So that's something people will look forward to. You have a really difficult task, as opera singers do, really, when it comes to not only matching your voice with the character, but if the character is like a 12-year-old princess, such as in Boris Godunov, you have to somehow compromise between singing like a 12-year-old and having your voice carry with all of its richness.
Of course. I learned to try to sing with my voice. And, I mean, as I'm discovering it every day and discovering the hall that I have to sing in and being introduced to an orchestra that is a lot louder and fuller because of the Mussorgsky, I mean, the way that he writes is very thick. Yeah. So in that role, I had to play a 12-year-old, but I think I had to sing like a 26-year-old.
Well, then do you have any kind of mannerisms that you can use to convey the 12-year-old?
Of course. I think she was a little bit of a brat because she's the princess and always wants to get everyone's attention. Unfortunately, her fiancé had just died, her betrothed.
No, wait a minute. She's 12 and she has a fiancé.
Yeah, I mean, Russia. This is Russia.
That's true.
And so she's been crying about it for 6 years. And so at this point, when I came
on...
Yeah, so for my aria, I'd been crying for 6 years and trying to get everyone's attention. Finally, my dad comes in, Ferruccio Forlanetto, I got to work with. He was the Boris Godunov. And he comes in and comforts me. So I get to play, you know, kind of another whiny teenager.
Not too much typecasting there. You're not afraid of being pigeonholed or anything.
No, I think that's what happens when you first start in a big house. They put you in those kind of roles first until you can get to be the big diva.
Now, have you actually sung Thais or you just sung arias from the opera?
I have sung Thais here at UW-Madison also.
Well, that's a role that requires some change because she starts as a courtesan, doesn't she?
Yes.
And then she has this instrumental meditation that's so famous in which she converts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that a challenge to go from, you know, courtesan to converte?
Well, my mom is a pastor, so I was able to, you know, kind of get into that religious state pretty easily get into that. So when I did this role, it was fun to do this first aria, the Dis-moi que je suis belle. She's looking in the mirror and she's saying, tell me that I'm beautiful because I feel like I'm getting old, basically. And so she's a little bit vain in the beginning.
Well, we'll see how it plays. This is from Thais by Massenet, and our quiz question today will be at about 12:32, in about 5 minutes here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Okay, you're pretty.
That's what she wanted to hear.
Well, she certainly earned it.
Good.
That sounds like another tough one. Now, you wouldn't want to do too many takes of that in a row, would you?
Probably not. Yeah.
Emily Bersan has been with me today, and she is going to be performing in Middleton tomorrow night. Arias with the Middleton Community Orchestra, including those by Puccini, Donizetti, and Mozart. And it's been a pleasure having you up here. Hope you'll come back up sometime, maybe just sing live for us.
I would love to sing live for you. Thank you, Norman. It was a pleasure.
Let's make a date.